Hallelujah. We're going to flow in two different realms tonight. Hallelujah. Why don't you grab your Bibles? Glory. Hallelujah. Or your mobile device, whichever you choose to use to read the Word. Hallelujah. Let's go to 2 Kings, and we're just going to flip around different areas and just see where we end up. Amen? A few different words I have on my heart, and again, I'm so thankful for these guys right here. 2 Kings chapter number 6. Did I tell you that already? Okay. Let's look at verse number 1. It says, "And the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. And so he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. Verse number 5 says, But as one was failing a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him into the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. I want you to look back at verse number 1, and it says, Behold now, the place where we dwell is too strait for us. Strait, S-T-R-A-I-T, for us. Meaning, it's too limited for us. The place where we've been hanging out is too limited for us. Too limited. The Lord spoke to me last Sunday and said, I'm moving you into greater. I'm moving you into greater. Greater what? Greater everything. The sons of the prophets came to their leader and said, The place where you are, where we're at, where we're gleaning from, where you're teaching us at, is too narrow, it's too limited, it's too small for us. And they led their leader to a new place. Sometimes in this ministry that we are a part of, our people will push us further. Sometimes it's in reverse. Well, the church folks should submit to the leader. Absolutely. But sometimes God gives you a word to release. It got quiet in here. All of us are called to be in the ministry. Uh-oh. Everyone in this room is called to do something. To not just sit down and come to church on Saturday or Wednesday or Tuesday and not do anything. You're called to do something in the kingdom. You're called to be a voice. You're called to lead someone somewhere. Everyone in this room is leading somebody somewhere. They came to their leader and said, The place that you have us in, it's too limited. We have no place to grow. There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to move. We're elbow to elbow. We need a new place. And so these guys said, Leader, follow us, and we're gonna find a place. And they built the place to grow. God wants us to grow. God wants this church to grow. God wants each one of you individually to grow. Grow in your gifts. Grow in your callings. Grow what God has for you to grow into. None of us have arrived. None of us have arrived. We're all growing, aren't we? Amen. Amen. I heard someone say the other day that if the leader isn't growing, the people aren't growing. The leader is not wanting to go somewhere different than the people are usually stagnant. What I like about the Kecks is that they're forerunners. They're pioneers. They don't want to do it like everybody else is doing it. They want to do it different. They want to do it God's way and not some man's way. And that's why I love these guys, because they're open to the Holy Spirit. And they want to see the Holy Spirit impact their city and the surrounding communities. Why? Because God loves everybody. Love and truth. They want to release the word, love and truth, to everybody that they know. Amen. So I want to encourage you as we move into 2017 that God is calling you to into greater. He's calling you into growth. He's calling you to see things differently. One thing God had to deliver me from was the usual, the normal. Before we started the gathering place in Port Neches, we were talking about doing church like everybody else. Everyone was growing. Everyone was having three or four services because they couldn't fit everybody in their one service. And that's the way we want to be. But God changed that. And said, I don't want you to do that. I've got enough of that. I need a presence-driven, Holy Ghost-filled church, Spirit-filled, Spirit-led church to make an impact. Amen. And there ain't nothing wrong with other churches doing other things. We love them. God bless them. They're impacting their world. But God's calling for forerunners to rise up and do what they're called to do. Amen. Pioneers that aren't afraid to blaze a new trail and lead their people to another level of where God has for them. That's what I believe these guys are doing. They're taking people and molding them and making them the way God wants them to be. Not the way they want to be. I was in church all my life. And I want to be just like my preacher. I want to sound just like my preacher. I even got his voice down, man. I was doing it just like he did it. Then I realized I have my own voice. And we as leaders in this room, pastors and leaders, we have to raise up the next pioneers, the next forerunners that'll be here 10 years, 20 years down the line when we're gone. What is God calling you to do in this hour that you've given up on, that you threw the towel in and said, I give up, I quit? What's He called you to do? Think about it. God's calling you to greater this year. Amen? Amen. All right, that's one trail I got to go on tonight. Let's go to my purpose and my assignment. Let's go to the book of John. Hallelujah. Everybody say greater.
Greater.
Greater is He that's in you. Amen? Amen?
Amen?
Amen. John chapter 7. And so, like I said a moment ago, we're not here to bash other ministries. We're not here to do any of that. But I do want to open up a vein of ministry tonight that'll kind of prick your thinking and help you move forward into 2017. We were talking in the back with Pastor, and of course, I lost my place. Here we go. And it seems that God, recently, that we've really experienced some new, different things in our church that we're not really accustomed to. It seemed like since June, it's been just a struggle just to have church. It's been a struggle to get to church. It's been a struggle just to be there, and you know, it's like a wet blanket's been put over the people. It's like, you know, I'm used to celebratory worship and excitement, and over the last 6-7 months, it's been really different, and we've struggled with it. And so I told my brother, I said, hey, or he told me rather, he said, I'm going to go and just tour different places and see what's going on in the region. It's important as leaders that we open our eyes and our hearts to understand what's happening regionally, not just what's in the room. And so Jeff went over to some churches, and I don't know how many he visited, but they're dealing with the same thing that we were dealing with. So it was good to know that I wasn't the only one. That we were having a little bit of issues in our worship, and it's like, man, this lethargic attitude, this complacent, apathetic thing was brewing over us. Have you ever felt that before where it's like, man, I just can't get into it? And as hard as we pushed and as hard as we tried, the worser it got. Is worser a word? And maybe in Southeast Texas. The worser it seemed, man. I tell you, it was tough. But I really believe we've received breakthrough. I felt something stirring tonight that I haven't felt in a long time. I'm happy it happened here. But I want you, as we go into 2017, to not put yourself, not put God in a box. And say, you know what? 6:30 on Saturday, from 7:30 you can move in that area. Then when I go home, I'm going to do what I want. God wants to break out of your boxes. Amen. Okay, John chapter 7. Let's go there. Jeff's going to keep me updated on time so that I don't go all night. Because we definitely could. John 7, verse 37. It says, in the last day of the great feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. I want to share a story with you. I like stories. You like stories? I want to share a story with you. I don't know, some of my folks, some associate ministers have heard this, but I'm going to share it with you guys tonight because you may not have. But in January of 1763, on the Mississippi River, there was a town that was founded by French settlers. They called this town the Little Gulf. The Little Gulf was 32 miles northeast of Natchez, Mississippi, on the Mississippi River. In 1798, Spain would sell this city to a man by the name of Thomas Calvert. Thomas Calvert renamed this city in 1828 from the Little Gulf to the city of Rodney. It became a very prosperous and prominent city. In 1815, Rodney, Mississippi would become known for being the cotton kingdom of the world. And because of this, Rodney would lead the South into great prosperity. By the 1850s, Rodney had become the busiest port on the Mississippi River, between New Orleans and St. Louis, Missouri. Many of the major steamboats of that era made Rodney their chief ports. By this time, it had grown to nearly 1,000 area residents and had over 35 stores. Now, back at that time, that was good things happening over there. That's a major boom, economy boom. The next decade, it grew even faster, quadrupling its size to 4,000 residents by 1860. But in the middle of their prosperity boom, something began to happen that no one could predict, no one could foretell. A large sandbar began to form in the Mississippi River. A large sandbar began to form. And that river altered its course. And everything that Rodney had, the prosperity boom, everything that was going on in the town of Rodney was because of the river. And when the river left, so did everything else. When the river left, the businesses closed, the steamboats quit coming, and today the city of Rodney is now classified as a ghost town. What's your point? My point is, when the river of God leaves your life, everything in your life dies. He is the life, the Holy Spirit's the life-giving river. If you don't have it, you got none. We need the river of God in our homes and in our lives and in our churches. Amen. The river is now 2 miles west of Rodney, and Rodney lost its port. Rodney was only successful because of the river. When the river changed its course, Rodney could no longer access the river. All of us in this room, leaders, ministers, everybody, we have to be open to the changing of the river. We have to be able to say, Holy Ghost, what are you doing next? And we have to humble ourselves and say, okay, I'm going to follow the river. Wherever the river goes, that's where I'm going to go. Wherever the glory cloud's moving, that's where I'm headed. I'm not following crowds, I'm following the cloud. Wherever that thing is, I want to be right there in the middle of it. Everything left when the river left, and this is a silent testimony that screams a powerful message to us today, that no matter how many great things you have going for you, if the river ever leaves you, you die. The Holy Spirit is our life-giving river. Just like the town of Mississippi, when the river went to a different direction, everything dried up, everything lost its prosperity, people began to leave, things were abandoned. If we don't have the flow of the Holy Spirit, we got nothing. The Holy Spirit, man, why even come to church if the Holy Spirit ain't doing nothing? Why even be saved if we don't got the Holy Ghost? I want more. I want the greater. I want to experience God in a whole new realm and a whole new light than what I've ever experienced. This is gonna probably shock some of you, but there's more to Him than this. When you get into this, He gives you more. Uh-oh. About to be kicked out. When you read this and start crunching on this word, He opens more to you. He gives you more revelation. I love eating the Word. I love reading the Word because there's so much that He wants to give you. Amen. The river of God is important. Engineers did a study and said that what caused the river to change location was a buildup of debris. Was a buildup of debris. Over time, much debris filled in and began to obstruct the flow of the river. It didn't happen overnight, little by little, day by day, inch by inch, a cup. Whatever they threw in the river started to dam it up. Same thing goes with our life, little by little, things that we allow into our hearts and into our life and into our church and into our businesses starts to dam up the river. The flow started going somewhere else that wasn't resistant to the flow. See, the flow of the Holy Spirit's going to go somewhere. And if it's resistant, it'll go find some other place. I don't want to be resistant. I don't want to be like, man, you got 30 minutes. Come on. Man, you got 10 minutes. Come on. I want to be like, Lord, you're just free to do whatever. I want my heart wide open. No, I don't want any, everyone says, you know, I even say, get your expectations up. Yeah, get your expectations up, but be careful what you're expecting. Be careful what you want Him to do. What if He wants to do more than what you want Him to do? I want a blessing that blows my mind. Something I can't even, you need your car note paid? What if someone wants to finish paying off your car? So don't limit. Don't limit God. Amen? Amen. We cannot be resistant. We can't be so familiar to the flow that we disregard it. In our culture, we're familiar with good worship. Right? Don't you love your worship leader? You get familiar. And she's up here practicing and playing and giving and giving and giving. And you're like, well, I heard her last week. Whoop-de-doo. And we become familiar. She's singing that song again. Lord, we just sang it yesterday. We just did it last week. Lord, Jesus. Can't she find another song, please? We become familiar. And the Lord says, open up your heart. Who cares if she sang it last week? I'm using it this week, too. Come on. Be open to the flow of my Spirit. Be open to what I want to do. We have to stay in the river. 90% of pastors report that they work between 55 hours to 70 hours per week. Man, it's important to stay in the river. 80% believe pastoral ministry has negatively affected their family. Talking about leaders, pastors. And I'm just going to read these to you from George Barna. Many pastors' children do not attend church now because of what the church has done to the parents. That's happening now. I got friends that I know that won't go in their parents' church because they can't stand the people that are there. They've gotten out of the river. The children have gotten out of the river. They're offended. They're hard-hearted to the Spirit of the Lord. 95% of pastors do not regularly pray with their spouses anymore. Aren't you glad your pastors pray together? I'm just talking, not talking about here, I'm talking about nationally. 33% state that being in the ministry is an outright hazard to their family. Lord Jesus, we need His presence. We need the flow of the river back in our churches. 90% of pastors feel they are inadequately trained to cope with ministry demands. 80% of pastors and 84% of their spouses feel unqualified and discouraged as role of pastors. 90% of pastors said the ministry was completely different than what they thought it would be like before they entered into ministry. 50% feel unable to meet the demands of the job. 70% of them fight depression and have a lower self-image and do not have someone they can call a close friend. Man, our pastors need the river. We need the river. We need the river. 66% of church members expect a minister and their family, to live at a higher moral standard than themselves. What? The profession of pastor is now near the bottom of a survey of the most respected professions, just above the car salesman. Sweet Jesus, we need the river. We need the river of God. We have to have His presence. Who cares if they call you crazy? Who cares if they call you whatever they call you? We're called the crazy church, the weird church. Oh well, we have the presence of the Lord. And I want more of it. I want miracles, I want signs, and I want wonders. I want to see things happen in our local place that'll just bust the doors and windows out and let the community come in. Take what we're experiencing to the world. Amen. What you have here, leadership-wise, needs to be experienced across the community. With Pastor Todd, Pastor Rick, Pastor Paul. They need to experience the love and the truth and the real passion of Jesus. The real tangible glory of the Lord. And we all carry that. Amen? We all carry it. The number one reason pastors leave the ministry is because church people are not willing to go the same direction and goal of their pastor. The number one reason why folks leave the church is because the members leave the church is because they're not willing to support the vision of their pastor. Then why did you join the church? If your pastor wants revival, well, that's you need to want revival. If they want to love the community, then you need to love the community. I want more of Him. I want the flow of the river. Ezekiel 47:9 says, "And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers will go, they're going to live. Everything that's connected to the river lives." The Holy Spirit, the river of God, brings life. It brings health. It brings wealth. It brings everything you need. When the river left the city of Rodney, what did I say? Everything closed down. Just like the presence of the Lord. If you excommunicate Holy Spirit from your life, your ministry, and your business, I can promise you, hell's going to break out in your life. Stand up. What's your name? Y'all know Tasha? Okay, come this way. Just lift your hands. Father, I thank You for this life-giving river is being stirred right now. And that everything that Tasha needs in this season, You're providing to her. And Father, that she's not controlled by this, that, or the other, God, but that she's controlled by the Holy Ghost. And Father, I thank You that even now, God, You're giving her peace, You're giving her a sound mind, and You're going to give her witty inventions. I hear witty inventions. And Father, I thank You that wisdom, heavenly wisdom is coming, is being poured into her even now. And Father, I just thank You, God, that everything that she needs financially, Father, everything that she needs regarding her finances being met. And Father, we just release healing to her now from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. And Father, I thank You that she is being inundated right now by Your Holy Spirit. Can you just stretch forth your hands to Tasha and just bless her right now? Father, we just bless her in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank You for her. We thank you for her. That greater is He that's in her than he that's in the world. No weapon formed against her is going to prosper. But God, that she's going to go into the greater realms. And she's going to see things in the greater realms, God. And we thank You for it. And we release her, Father, to go there. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank You, God, that she is going to experience the life-giving river. And Father, start slowly creeping up on her, God, and she's going to be ultimately swimming in the river. And Father, we thank You for her. In Jesus' name. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank You. We thank You for the keks, God. We thank You. Y'all stand real quick. Come on. Yeah, y'all come over here. Come on. We thank you for it, Father, that the river brings life and the river brings wholeness and it brings what you need when you need it. Father, we thank you that everything is seen, everything is heard. God, we thank you that there is nothing, God, that you can't do, but you can do it all. Come on, you can do it all. You can do it all, Father. And I thank you, God. Last weekend, Father, you told me the treasuries of heaven are open. And so, Father, I thank you that over this ministry, the treasuries of heaven are open. 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 Father, I thank you, Father, that what they need is already in the room. I thank you that it's already here. And Father, I thank you that it's going to come as a suddenly, as a surprise. And Father, I thank you for a season of suddenly surprises. A season of suddenly surprises. Come on, a suddenly of seasons of surprises. Yeah. Father, I thank you that the next 6 months are going to be the greatest 6 months that they've ever experienced. And God, we just thank you for growth, 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 growth financially, numerically. Father, I thank you that a special healing anointing is resting upon this one. Father, I thank you that nothing that is, oh, yeah, 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 things are going to start falling off. Come on. Things are going to start, tumors are going to fall off. Father, I thank you, God, that she's going to walk in even in a higher degree of anointing than what she even has experienced up to this point. That, God, that there's a surge is being felt now in this ministry.
Yes.
A surge of your glory, a surge of your presence, your power. God, I thank you that this revival center, this miracle center, this hub, God, is going to begin to see growth that they've never seen before. That, God, even this place is going to become too small. For the Lord says, this place is too small for you, but what I have is greater for you. And do not think this place, oh, these are just humble beginnings. But God says, yeah, 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 humble beginnings, yes. And now you're very humble, you're very sweet. But the Lord says, I'm bringing you higher, says the Lord. And you need to start seeing yourself that which you are as apostolic. And for the Lord says, you're going to start raising up and sending out, raising up and sending out, raising up and sending out. For the Lord says, you don't really want to pastor folks, although you love folks and you love to pastor. But the Lord says, I'm going to start sending people to you in this next season that you're going to just be the apostle over, and you're going to train and you're going to develop. You're going to train and you're going to develop, and they're going to help you, and they're going to be like your sons and your daughters, and you're going to release them into what I have for them. And so don't find it strange that you're going to begin to see people coming in and coming in and coming out, and just staying for a little while, staying for a season and leaving. For the Lord says, I'm calling you to be an apostolic house in this hour.
Yes.
Oh, let it come, Father. Let it come, Father. Let that growth come. That, Father, man, I even see like new glasses being put on you. Mm. And you're going to start seeing things different. Mm. It's going to be the whole vision's about to shift. It's going to shift. The way you do things are going to shift. And you're going to be like, God, but this is not really what I want to do. But this is not really how I pictured it. The Lord says, I'm about to shift some things. And when you shift, your folks are going to shift. And the Lord says, I don't know, there's this thing about a women's ministry. I don't know if you have one or you. I don't know what you're doing with that. But the Lord says, I'm creating for you a platform to release the words from heaven that I've given you, that have been shut up inside of you for years. And where other people put you in the back, God says, I'm going to pull you to the front.
Yes.
And you don't want to do it, but the Lord says, I'm going to push you because you've got a word deep inside of you that has to be out, that has to be released. And the frustration that you've been experiencing is because the Lord's been trying to push you to the forefront. And now the Lord says, let me push you. Let me push you. It's going to be a stretch. It's going to be a stretch. But darling, darling daughter, I've got you. He just says, darling daughter, over you tonight. I've got you. And I also feel like there's just books and stuff that you're going to have to slow down and start writing. I bet you got that one before. Have you got that word before?
She's a writer.
Well, you both are going to have to do it.
She's actually...
So you're going to have to write his book for him.
we were given a writing cabin this year. So.
Okay. So, Father, let the ideas and the revelation just begin to pour.
Amen. Yes.
Not normal stuff, God. And not just sermons that he's preached over the last eight months that he's going to put into a book. But God, let it be revelation.
Yes.
Heavenly revelation.
Yes.
Amen. Y'all got oil around here?
I think there should be some there.
Give me some oil, Jeff.
In there?
There's
Jamie, do you know where the oil is? Let's go get that.
Yes.
It's okay. Okay. Just a little bit. Okay. That's all right, Jamie. We got it. Sis, we got it. You guys stretch your hands toward your pastors. Amen? And if it's not your pastors, do it anyway. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you. We anoint them for their new season. Oil lubricates, makes things greasy. And so, Father, we just we make them oily. right now, that things begin to be smoother.
Yes.
Smoother.
Yes.
The transition is over, and you're moving into your new. Moving into your noon. God, we just call for the winds of heaven to begin to blow through this room.
Yes, God.
Begin to blow in this room right now. Pioneers, forerunners. Pioneers and forerunners. We thank you for it, Father. Thank you for it. Hallelujah. Thank you. You know, when I was like 14, we were going to a church over there down in Mid-County and thought we had it all together. And then I had an encounter with the Lord. Have you ever had an encounter with the Lord that left you wrecked and was like, oh? And we were, I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't speaking or anything. But one night we were having a college and career meeting it was called Champions Hall then. And I started reading a book by Tommy Tenney. Remember him? Man. And it was called God's Favorite House. And I began to read that book and it wrecked my life. And it got to Song of Solomon, I believe it's just chapter 5, where I think it's chapter 5, maybe where she's sleeping and her beloved knocks and she goes to the door and he's gone. Remember that story in Song of Solomon? Please help me. If you don't know what I'm talking about, please go back and read it. Her beloved is gone. And the only thing that was left was the myrrh and the frankincense of where he was. He touched the handle of that knob and that was the only thing that was left. And I read that, and I just started crying. I said, man, I don't want to just experience that. I want to experience him. See, if she would have answered that door and would have got out of bed, she said, I've already taken my bath. I've already got my night clothes on. I ain't getting up. That's basically what she said. By the time she got up, he was gone. I made it a point in my life that I don't want that. And so I was moving into that realm, and at that time, what was the favorite catchphrase? It was God Chasers, I think, back in those days. And everyone was reading God Chasers, and I was reading God's Favorite House. And so finally, we got to this meeting and this gathering of us kids, and I was standing with my brother and a friend of ours, and it's like something came in the room, man, and just hit me on the back of the head like a hammer. And I just crumbled on the floor. And I was laid there. I don't know. I thought it was hours, but it may not have been. And I remember getting up in the entire room. All those folks were on their face. Like, dude, what happened? And finally, the leader of that group looked at me, and we locked eyes, and he handed me the microphone. And that's when my life changed. My public ministry, my life. That's when ministry started changing for me. So God allowed me to begin to minister to different people in different churches. So I just wanted to share this with you real quick. Then we're going to close and pray for you. About 2 or 3 weeks later, the church sends me to one of their sister churches in Mississippi. And I get in the church culture. And I start doing the church things, and I forget about the encounter I had with the Lord. So I get busy with church and things like that, and I get familiar with church. Coming on Sundays and Wednesdays. I was the youth pastor, so, you know, we had a lot of fun, and I was focused on building, that I forgot about the encounter. May we never forget about our encounters. The landmarks in our life that touched our life, that left you with a limp. May we never forget those moments in God's presence that changes us. We talked about Brownsville earlier. May we never forget those moments in God's presence that wrecked us. We need a good wrecking. Is it Miley Cyrus that says, "I came in like a wrecking ball" or something? Well, let the Holy Spirit come and wreck you. Yeah, I said it. God wants to wreck you. He wants to change you. He wants to spend some time with you. When was the last time you spent time in His presence? It was like, oh, we get so busy. This is Christmas time. What you mean, Pastor John? Instead of shopping, I got to pray a little while? Yeah. I want more. I'm tired of this level of just scratching the surface. I want more. And I hope you don't think I'm beating you up tonight, because I'm not. I just want to encourage you to go higher. Get that more, that you're longing for something. If you've been miserable, if you've been frustrated, God is saying, come up higher. I want to spend some time with you. I want to spend some time with you. Jamie, come on. Everybody good? Amen. Chick-fil-A has awesome tea. Yes. That was free. I didn't get paid to do that. Just bow your heads, close your eyes, or however you do it. Glory to God. Tonight in the room, I want to talk to the few people, maybe all of us, I don't know, who say, you know what, I love the Lord with all my heart, but yeah, I've been away a little bit. I've gotten busy. I've got my eyes off the goal. I've become distracted and frustrated and been caught up in foolish arguments. I've been caught up in offense and bitterness and rejection and tonight the Lord wants to minister to you. That's the first person. The second person is the person that says, the place that I'm currently in, it's too small. It's too small. And the Lord says, if you'll let me, I'll break you out of containment. We just bless whatever's going on, Father. Take care of whatever's going on right now in Jesus' name. And the third one is, just like that just happened, that you're ignoring and not heeding the alarm of the Holy Ghost. Some of you know that you have to make some changes. Some of you know that if you don't change, you're never going to go into the greater that He has for you. Some of you know if you stay where you're at, in a confined, in a small way of thinking, that you're never going to move forward. And tonight you're going to have to break out of the box. Before you end 2016, you got to come out of that box that you've placed yourself in and said, God, you can only work on these parameters. You can only deal in these parameters. So if I described you tonight, just lift your hand and put it right back down. Just lift your hand and put it right back down. I see your hands. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So Father, we just right this very moment, you saw the hands that were lifted. Father, we just release your fiery love. Your momentum of the Holy Ghost to those that raise their hands tonight. Lord, so they can finish strong. The Lord says to some of you that have been going through, that have been really, really, really at a crossroad making a decision on where to go next and what to do next. The Lord is saying that I've already given you the answer that you need. You just need to go and do that which I've told you to do. Father, I thank you that the weariness is lifting, the fatigue is lifting off your people. And that, Father, you're giving them a fresh zeal and passion. In Jesus' name. Let's stand together. Do you want me to close it? Do you want me to close it? Okay. Let's stand together. Can I just say one more thing and I'll let you go. It's 8 o'clock. 2 Kings 6 says the folks told Elisha that the place that they're at was too small. I want to clarify something so that you don't think of what I'm saying, that you don't misunderstand what I'm saying. The place that you're... Not this place, but your spiritual place. Spiritual place that you're in. That you've built, you made that place your home. When there's more for you. God says, build a bigger place. Build a bigger place. Amen. We're going to turn these lights out here in a minute. And if you want prayer, I want you to come. I'm going to pray for you. I may or may not have a word for you. Who knows? But sometimes I do get words. And so I want to spend some time with you and pray for you. And if you have an offering that you already gave, that you want to give another one, do it. That's it. See, in this season, God wants you to give intentionally. Oh, here's Pastor John trying to take up an offering. No. I want to encourage you that, you know what? You know what broke me out of my financial struggles? Giving. Sometimes I didn't have any money to give. I had to give a button. I had to give what I had. Giving breaks, can break you out of a financial crunch. We have a shop, two shops, one in Beaumont and one in Nederland. We had no money to pay bills, but we gave. And our shops are just exploding right now. Because we've given out of our need. Amen. Our church, the same thing. It's hard to have church. All this costs money. It's hard to pay the rent sometimes. Hallelujah. It is. And we're sometimes we got to beg for money. We're not beggars. We he's our papa. So we got to change our mindset that, you know what? He owns it all. And the treasures of heaven are open. So I'm going to receive from heaven all that heaven has for me. And some of you that's going to come forward here in a moment, you're going to experience the treasuries of heaven. You're going to feel a shift in your finances, in every part of your life that needs growth. Amen? Amen. If you want to stay for a little while and worship with us, come on, let's do that. I'm going to be walking around praying for you. You're welcome. Come on. And if not, then I love you. God bless you. Okay. Let's come on. If you want prayer, come on. Hallelujah. Glory. If we need healing in your body, come on. The Lord is going to touch you tonight. He's going to touch you. Come on. Back pain, neck pain, all that's going to be healed tonight. migraines, all that's going to be healed tonight. Glory.
Yeah, for the Spirit of the Lord is here.
Yes, He is.
The evidence is all around. That the Spirit of the Lord is here.
Pastor John, I got a word for you. I got to give it now. I just feel it. I was hearing just a minute ago, God speaking, saying this. Solomon had a wisdom that he asked for, of course, that God gave him. But there was something particular about that. It was to, you know, he built this temple that was amazing. He was able to get master builders, master carpenters, and build this amazing thing and have this huge wealth. And it was all God-given, and it was for a purpose. It was for God's temple. And, you know, Solomon did all this stuff, but God gave him the stuff to do that with. He gave him that understanding, that wisdom, that knowledge. And, you know, Solomon himself talks about wisdom and crying out for it and longing for it. And so I just felt like to say this to you, that God is giving you now that wisdom for this area, for other areas beyond here, to put things together, to find master builders, master carpenters, master apostles, prophets, begin to put things together for His kingdom that are going to grow His kingdom. We're going to see things here and elsewhere, but we're going to begin to see things here that are unusual, that are beyond, that we talked about it earlier. He does things different everywhere. Yeah. And He's going to do something here that's going to get the attention of the world. Yeah. And I just feel like God's going to give you a wisdom to put things together, to put people together, to bring in the giftings, to build on giftings, to put things together. And the spiritual side of it, you've got a certain degree of that, and that is good. But there is a natural wisdom also, and there is, and we say natural, but it's supernatural. Yeah. That is a supernatural, God-given wisdom to put those things together in a way that they work. In a way that it builds God's kingdom. And that is what you are about to step into. Your church, your people are about to step into a season. You are stepping into that season now, right now in Jesus' name. And it's going to build the kingdom of heaven in this area. And you're going to put together things that are amazing, that are unusual, that nobody's ever seen before done that way. But it's going to be done in such a way that it gets the attention of the world. And I just feel like God's giving you that wisdom in Jesus' name. Amen.
And we receive that. Where's TGP? We receive that, right? Come on. Amen. Todd, right? Todd. The beard's cool. We're going to pray for you. If you want prayer, just come on. We're going to hang out for a little while. What do you do? You're a pastor?
Pastor.
Yeah. Are you a carpenter?
I work with Rick as a carpenter now.
Father, I just thank you for Todd. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for Todd. You know, I don't know if you're going to be offended by this or not. I apologize if you are, but there's a guy by the name of Todd Bentley. Over there in wherever. Where is he at?
He's in North Carolina.
Somewhere. And I just want to... I don't know much about him. He's supposed to come to our church a few times. We never had him, but who knows what God wants to do in the future. But I just want to say something. You know, he's open-minded to the supernatural, and he gets in the... Just weird little things happen and stuff. But I just really feel like the Lord is about to... unwrap some new gifts and new callings, and you're going to begin to walk into a unusual realm of godly encounters, crazy things, and I just really feel like you just need to be open and ready to receive it. just really feel like you guys are strategically planted where you are. You're not doing the same thing, but you're in the same direction, and that you're both pioneering in your respective areas. And the it's like you're traveling together now. And you may do that in the foreseeable future, who knows how long, but anointings attract. And so over this house and over that house, Father, we just say, Father, let the realms of your presence, the glory realms, be opened up over their buildings and over their assemblies. Yes. Father, let there be unusual things, signs and wonders and miracles begin to break out. Father, and where people would not understand, Father, let there become distinct understanding immediate when it happens, where they say, oh, it has to be God. Oh, it has to be God. There's no explanation. We've known that person for years. And Father, I thank you that this has happened tonight in Vider. For this city's been stained, and the city's been marked across the world. But the Lord says, I'm bringing my fire, my wind, and my rain. And I'm removing the scars of yesterday. The healing winds are blowing through this city even now. Right now. Right now over this city. And even into Orange. I'm doing a new thing in the corridor of I-10, says the Spirit of the Lord. Will you ride this wave with me? Will you ride this wave with me? Will you let me guide and lead you and let me ride the current of my presence? Father, I thank you for Vider, Texas, and I thank you for what you're doing here. We thank you that racial tensions or the peace of God is coming in and removing that thing. That was planted here over 100 years ago. Father, I thank you that when you come in, everything changes. You know, guys, I preached here. When did I preach over here in this area? About a year ago? It was crazy hard. I preached right on I-10, and it was difficult. Tonight wasn't that way. I really feel freedom in the city. I feel like something different is happening here. And we need to be open. I keep hearing the Lord say open and obvious. And so we need to be open to what He's doing and watch for the obvious. So Father, we just thank you for Todd. Fresh anointing on his ministry, is just build his church. Let the oil begin to flow. Let it flow, Father. Let it flow, Father. Jesus' name, everything aligns under heaven. Everything. Thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. We thank you. Lord, right now we thank you. Who's your mama and daddy? Jamie. It's your mama? Do you play something? Drums? Come on. How old are you? 10. Thought you were 16. Does she act like it?
21.
Yeah. Father, I thank you. What was your name?
Ariel.
Ariel. Thank you. You know, it's easy to, you know, to say something like this, but I just really feel like this is something that's what I'm hearing. Heavenly rhythm.
heavenly rhythm. Whether you continue to play or not, God's going to give you a heavenly rhythm to be in step with the orders from heaven. He's like, she's part of that new breed. You know, new breed. God's raised up this size to be different and to be crazy, to think outside the box, and it's okay to do that. Don't let anyone tell you not to. We need entrepreneurs and people, leaders, that are growing up to become open-minded to the things of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, we just pray an open mind to your things, godly things. And Father, I just put a hedge of protection around her right now from the things of the world that cannot get in. Only the heavenly things, that the doors of heaven are open. God, let her see into the heavenly realms. Let her see the things that you desire her to see in this hour. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hey, you're Paula's parents? Your parents, right? Okay. Well, yeah, he's yours too, yeah. What y'all do? If you're going to stick around, why don't you help me pray for folks? Y'all want to? All right. Okay, just put your hands out like this, both of them. Now, was there any kind of inflammation or swelling or anything in this thing? Weird stuff. Is it painful now?
Yes.
Okay, Father, we just thank you. You're the great physician. And we just release healing virtue into her body right now, starting with the wrist. And Father, I just thank you. The blood of Jesus still has miraculous power. And Father, we just release that power right now in Jesus' name into her wrist and into her knees and her back and her legs and her feet, her toes, her fingers. Father, every part of her body and her brain, Lord, let there be a healing balm begin to flow from the top of her head to the soles of her feet right now. Let that river of healing begin to flow. Right now, right now, right now, right now, right now, right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 We pray for her eyes. Pray for her eyes now, Father. Let there be a vision change. Take a deep breath and then just let it out. How do you feel? Anything hurt still? It's okay if it does, we can pray again. You good?
Good.
She's good. Yeah. Woo! Okay, what's going on with you, Papa? Oh, yeah, your knee. That's right. I'm sorry. See, when I go with one person, I forget the next person. Okay. Your knees? What's wrong with your hands? Anything?
No.
Okay. All right. Okay. Just receive. Yeah, you're going to help me pray. Come on. You're going to help me pray. So, Father, we just thank you that there's no pain anymore in this body. No more pain. No more trauma in those knees. Father, I thank you for just new knees. Well, you already got a new knee. We're going to get two heavenly knees. Hallelujah. Yeah. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you that the muscles are going to strengthen even now. I thank you for heavenly muscles to begin to strengthen right now. Father, that we just call forth just new muscles begin to be put into his legs so that, Lord, that he can be strengthened as he stands. Spiritually and physically. In Jesus' name. Do you have any pain anywhere?
Not better.
Could you do that earlier?
No.
Okay. Okay, good. You feel good? He feels good. Woo! Glory. 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 You want prayer?
Come on, brother. Come on. You're next. Right here. What you want prayer for? Father, what's your name? Father, we thank you for Timothy, God, and I thank you, Lord, you're a good, good daddy, and you take care of everything. And so, Father, we decide that even now, Father, that our eyes are going to be locked in on you, and that we're not going to look around to the left or to the right, but, Father, we're going to look at you into your eyes. And, Father, I thank you, God, that everything that he and his family needs is being supernaturally taken care of even now, Father. And I thank you, God, that you're giving him hope and you're giving him life and you're giving him a future. And where the devil will try to snipe him out and take him out, God, that you've risen a standard against the enemy, God. And I thank you, God, that even now, Father, that you're, the joy of the Lord is flowing into him even now. Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Fall fresh on him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We thank you, Jesus. And for this life. For this life, we call him blessed. Blessed. Jesus' name. What's up, bud? Sing, the atmosphere is changing now. Is that what you're singing? Oh, this is for you though.
The atmosphere is changing now.
Right now, sing it again. The atmosphere is changing now. Yeah.
The atmosphere is changing now.
Yeah.
For the Spirit of the Lord is here.
Right here.
It's all around.
I hear for you is break out. I'm sorry, that's all I hear. Break out. Glory. And breakthrough. Breakthrough. The atmosphere is changing. It's changing.